This is Maria with The Why, from Success to Startup Show, bringing you the whys of entrepreneurship on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.
Hello, welcome to Startup to Success with Maria. My guest today is Mitchell Stern, who's a longtime cannabis activist and marijuana entrepreneur. He's the founder of Burning Bush Nurseries and CBD Reviews Guide, and has been featured speaker at the National Marijuana Business Conference. Mitchell, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Hi, Maria. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
I'm so thrilled that we're going to be talking about cannabis. I can't tell you how much
it's
I learned.
It's my favorite subject.
It's my favorite subject too. Every time, especially, you know, when I bring people that have been in the industry for so long, it's just so amazing to learn so much from them, but also to help our listeners understand all the benefits of this amazing plant, you know? So, but before we dive into all of that, I would love to know, what inspired you to get into this industry?
Well, I've been in the industry for about 13 years now. Prior to joining the marijuana industry, I had been working as a journalist, actually, in Washington, D.C., for a very prominent news agency, and just wasn't entirely in love with it. And I decided, actually, really what it was, I saw this documentary on CNBC that I had no idea that the marijuana industry even existed, and this 1 hour of television just woke me up to the entire possibility. And about 2 weeks later, I just kind of quit my job and threw everything I owned in the back of my car and drove out to California. And I had never even been here before, but I just knew that I wanted to join this industry. And I was so sure that if I could just get my feet on the ground locally, I could meet enough people and make enough connections and actually make it happen. And, 13 years later, here I am.
Wow, that's amazing. So walk us through a little bit of that, how that journey was. What were the first few things that you thought? I'm sure a lot of the listeners who are anxious to get into the industry, they don't even know where to begin from, you know, and I'll speak a little bit about my own experience as well. But I would love to hear yours.
Well, the first thing I would say is that, you know, you have to reconcile with the fact that it's going to be a little scary. You know, trying new things and taking a risk is always scary. And so, if you're feeling the fear, that's something that all of us feel. And it's something that, you know, you sort of have to acknowledge. And, you know, it's there for all of us. But some of us just move forward with our plan anyway. And, you know, that's sort of what you have to do if you want to start a business, especially in this industry. Yeah, did I answer the question? I'm not even sure.
So I guess what I'm curious about is this industry is so difficult to get into, you know, and mm-hmm. It has so many different parts to it too. When I started Roma Leaf, my CBD brand, honestly, if you had asked me 3 years ago, 4 years ago, if I would ever get into this industry, my answer would have been no. Number one, it's so complicated. Number two, it's, you know, still federally not legal, even though, you know, it has no THC, and there's just so many complications when it comes to marketing and promoting. So it's very challenging to build a brand, and then it's sourcing, and it's the connections, it's the manufacturing, it's the testing. It's just so complicated. What I want to learn about is when you started Burning Bush Nurseries, I guess, what were the first few steps that you took to get it started? And then obviously, you know, to grow it, you need licensing and all of that. And if you can remind me when you started this, that would also help with my questions, because I know nowadays Everybody wants to learn how to grow and stuff. It's really challenging to get even a license to start the business.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Well, we actually, Burning Bush started in 2010, and then we closed doors in 2016. And I started working on CBDReviews.guide. But, the way Burning Bush sort of came about was when I first moved out here to California, I got a job doing security at a dispensary in Oakland. And by sheer luck, I ended up guarding the door at their clone shop. So all day long, growers are coming in and, you know, I'm overhearing discussions about how to grow and what's selling well and, you know, tips and tricks for doing this and that. And That's really where I learned how to grow, was just working security at this clone shop and talking to so many growers day in and day out. And then a few years later, unfortunately, there were some legal complications, to put it mildly, but a number of agencies with three letters on the backs of their jackets kicked down the door one April afternoon, and that was the end of that particular clone operation. But in the absence of that, and they had been serving so many growers in the community, once they were no longer able to do so, I realized there was going to be a tremendous void, really, in the demand force. So that's when I started Burning Bush, and we went into business and started making clones and selling them through local dispensaries and to local collectives and local independent growers and anyone who wanted to buy baby plants. And so that's kind of how Burning Bush came about, was just there was an opportunity and I took advantage of it.
Smart. You're a true entrepreneur. And I noticed that you guys have, you sell seeds online too. Tell me a little bit about that. So like, can people just come and simply buy the seeds and learn how to grow it themselves?
Yeah, essentially. Yeah. You can go to, we have a number of, well, we sell our seeds to a distributor, and then they sell them to individual retailers. So I've got a brief list of some retailers on our website, burningbushnurseries.com. Go and check it out. There are other retailers out there potentially that carry our seeds, and I'm just not aware of it. But the ones on our website, these are reputable seed banks over in Europe for the most part, and they're great people. We recommend dealing with all of them. So anyone who wants to buy our seeds can go to our website, burningbushnurseries.com, and check it out.
Awesome. Thank you for that. Tell me about the CBD reviews site. I'm so impressed by that.
Sure.
Reviews.guide, actually. I'm really happy I came across it, because, you know, I would love to list our CBD on your site. I think your site is amazing from everything else that I've seen from the competitors. I feel like they come in, just really quickly get a bunch of CBD products, you know, on their site, take charge a lot of money, and then just kind of sometimes stop marketing and promoting. And so then the advertisers don't get much results from it. So tell me a little bit how yours is different.
I guess really we're focused on the consumer. We really, you know, my motivation in starting that site was just to give people a clear answer. I think so many people right now, you know, they want to just have a clear answer for their specific ailment. You know, maybe their mother or father has been diagnosed with Parkinson's disease or Alzheimer's. They want to know what is the best CBD product for that particular ailment. What, you know, what has been tried and true, what was designed to treat that ailment. Because, you know, they're not necessarily trying to get into all, you know, all the activism and all, and although that stuff is wonderful, but it's just, you know, it's not for everyone. You know, other people have other stuff going on in their lives, and they're just looking for the answer. And that's really what I wanted to provide, was just a straight answer. So the site is very simple in design and done so on purpose. I just want clarity. I want one product above the fold. Just say, this is the best. We've looked everywhere, and this is the best one I could find for this ailment. And honestly, the results have been incredible. I think people really value the honest approach, and I think the clarity is really what sets us apart.
Yeah, I mean, I'm literally looking at your site, and I just love how, you know, the unbiased CBD reviews is just a simple drop down based on whatever issues you may have. Like, it gives you the choice of anxiety, alcoholism, arthritis, asthma. So you select whatever your issue is, and then, you know, one product pops up. Now, you know, speaking of one product, like, do you ever come across where you find a couple of good brands and can you put two brands that you're recommending, or are you sticking to only one product per category?
For our number one recommendation, we do usually stick to one product per category. But if you scroll down a little bit, you'll see that in most cases, we do sometimes list a second and third place product, because yes, oftentimes there are a few different products that would be effective. So we don't want to you know, limit people's options too much, while at the same time still not overwhelming them with choices. So, yeah, there are certain cases, where, you know, one product might be coupled with another product for best results. And I think the sleep or the autism page might be one of those pages. But we try to keep people's focus a little bit narrower,
It's very overwhelming. I remember when I was a consumer, I was so overwhelmed with all the information out there. And a lot of times I didn't know what to trust. I didn't know. I think my hardest, the challenge that I had, and I own a marketing agency. I've been helping disruptive tech startups for the past decade. And for me, the story behind the company always mattered, especially being in the tech industry. I feel like some of these disruptors have put their faces in front of their they're the face of the company in order to disrupt, right? In order to get attention and be able to do what they do best. And so I'm sort of used to, as a marketer, to see who's behind a brand, you know, who's the founder and so on. And for me, it was always really challenging to trust the brand that the face, like I couldn't really find the owner or whatever. Tell me a little bit about that. Do you find that there are a lot of brands out there that you just, it's so hard to figure out who's behind it, and therefore it's harder to trust them?
Yeah, I would agree, especially in this industry. I think some people are more reluctant to stick their heads up. However, having seen things work from the inside, I know some very reputable brands with secretive owners, and the owner isn't necessarily trying to avoid scrutiny. It's just a matter of self-preservation. And although things are changing in this industry, and we are moving in a better direction, and I think you're going to see less of that, but yes. Well, honestly, I can also, I'm just thinking of other instances now where I know people that have made a point of putting their face on top of everything and making sure everyone knows their name. And internally, things weren't as copacetic as they were trying to make them appear. So I see your point. I definitely see your point. I think the person behind the brand is critical. Ultimately, it's their brand. But I don't know, in this particular industry, I have known a few people that like to avoid the spotlight, but still produce a quality product. I suppose it's a case by case type of thing.
Yeah, I do agree. I would not generalize that statement, obviously. Now, one thing I want to also ask is, how do you determine how do you select the number one product that you're recommending for each category? I mean, what are some of the criteria that they have to sort of pass through?
Sure. Well, right now it's primarily based on user reviews that we found on other sites, particular forums, really just doing a lot of, you know, sort of slow, monotonous, boring intelligence gathering type of work. So some of it's based on informal reports that I've received from people over the years. And I mean, I have been in the industry now for well over a decade, and I've had hundreds of thousands of conversations with patients and been to forums and been to conferences, and my immersion in the industry is really quite strong. So a lot of these products going into it, they just sort of had a reputation already in my mind that, you know, had you stopped me on the street and said, you know, hey, my son's having seizures, what would you recommend? I kind of already knew a product or two that I know is getting positive results for other people that I would have recommended to you right away. So while there was research, a lot of this stuff I sort of already knew. And honestly, the site isn't finished. There are a few products that are out there that I'm aware of that I know are particularly beneficial for certain ailments. And I just can't actually find them to point customers in that direction. So it's a work in progress, but everything up there is essentially the best of what's available.
Amazing. Thank you. That's so wonderful to know. And you know, I feel like you being in this industry for 10 years is like, it's equivalent to having
longer than that.
30 years of experience in this industry. Cause I feel like it's in cat years. Like it's just,
it really is. It really is.
Isn't it moving so quickly compared to any other industry? So we have to like really keep up with the changes and everything. So I would, you know, you said 10 years in my head. I was like, yeah, that's like equal to like 30, 40 years.
No, it's so true. It's so true. Because you know what? The people in this industry, we love it so much that we never turn it off. We go home and we're still consuming information. We're still learning. We're still reading. It just never goes away.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you're going to a lot of trade shows and a lot of different events, and you've been a speaker actually at
I was prior to COVID. Marijuana Business Conference. Yeah,
that's amazing. Yeah, so tell us a little bit about the trade shows. Do you find them helpful? Are there any good ones that you would recommend for anyone who's in the industry to look into, like myself? Or you know, just curious about that. We haven't dabbled into trade shows at all.
I would definitely recommend trade shows, especially for anyone who's new to the industry, but even veterans, just for the networking opportunities. So yes, I was a regular attendee and occasionally a featured speaker at the Marijuana Business Conference. This was all prior to COVID, mind you. I'm not actually sure what they're doing these days, but I didn't do any of the virtual events or anything for the last 2 years. So hopefully they get the conference happening again in person. There are also legislative conferences that are held in Washington, D.C. from time to time by the Cannabis Industry Association. If you're more interested in the activism side, I would steer any wannabe activist or potential activist towards the Cannabis Industry Association, because they do most of our lobbying and they're very, very good at it. If you're particular passion is legal reform, also you can look into the Marijuana Policy Project as a great organization. And I would recommend these conferences. Every single one of them, going into it, I was always unsure of whether or not, you know, it was worth spending the money. And every single time, without exception, unequivocally, yes, it was a good decision. We met people that led to more sales and greater exposure, and people that helped us do what we were doing even better. And it was a tremendous growth opportunity.
Awesome. Now, you know, I think networking is key here. And I've just, in the beginning, before the pandemic happened, I did go to a couple of small little sort of conferences in Los Angeles. And I remember coming across attorneys, accountants, so many experts, consultants that were in this industry that I really would not have been able to find them. And so it wasn't just, you know, the network, like you said, you know, they help you grow. And it's the growing is not necessarily in marketing, you know, just in a place from marketing. It could be from the legal aspect or the accounting, or, you know, so many things that we need in order to survive in this business at the moment, because it can be so challenging. What other benefits would you say, you know, in your specific case, like how else did it help? Were you able to get sales? Were you able to get distributors? Like any other benefits other than?
Sure. Yeah. Some specific examples. You know, it's a national conference. We were a local brand. So as far as meeting potential clients, I did meet maybe, I don't know, two or three. But for the most part, these people are operating in different parts of the country where, you know, they're just outside of our delivery area. So while I did make more sales, that wasn't the primary benefit. I would say the primary benefit was really learning from other cannabis entrepreneurs, because we're all facing some of the same challenges, specifically with regard to financing and banking and dealing with any sort of, federal level business type issue. So there was a lot of brainstorming and meeting of the minds, people kind of coming together to solve common problems. And in a number of instances, I found the information helpful. At one point I started doing consulting for social media for cannabis brands, and I don't do it anymore, but I met a number of clients through that particular conference. And then another huge one was back when we were doing cloning, we started looking into tissue culture. And I'm not sure if your audience is familiar with tissue culture, but it's basically it's a cutting edge way to replicate plants. You can essentially take one plant and turn it into 10,000 in the course of a month. Whereas cloning, it would, you know, that to get to 10,000 clones would take years. You could never do it off of one plant. But wow. This particular process was going to essentially revolutionize our industry. And although we didn't end up going with it, I was able to learn a tremendous amount about it, find vendors that could help us get the equipment we would need. And ultimately, it just wasn't cost effective, so we didn't do it. But anyone who's ever been in business could tell you, you know, for every good idea you had, there were 10 lousy ideas. So just because the idea didn't work out, right, yeah, it doesn't mean that the source of the idea should be discounted. But and you know, I made some great friends at these places too, you know, and people I still keep in touch with. So I would recommend the conferences to anyone.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back on KLOS 95.5 FM HD3, SoCalArmenian.com.